96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and a pleasant good morning. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. I'm your host for the day, and I have actually Dr. Suzanne Williams-Lockhart again with me, actually. And I'm glad to see her here because we had an appointment last week, and she said she was ill. I said, doctors can't be ill. And she came in today, and she has a mask on. You know, I love the mask because I said, if I had that, I would walk through the food store with that. Definitely people say, where you get that fancy mask from? And I there, she's still feeling under the weather, but and she made a promise to me and she said she'll come and fulfill the commitment as we speak about general health, as we speak about men's health, as we speak about supplements, as we speak about this flu that is going around that people seem not to be getting over it. And I wanted to start with that. Talk about 4 weeks ago, and I think I told you that the last time we were on the show, my child had came down with the flu. She caught it from school. In fact, the entire school was emptied, right? Because every child inside the school had this strange, aching, painful flu, right? And the good thing about this particular school, and I call the school name, it's an Ann school, they tend to give the flu shot. They give it to every child. In fact, they call parents. Hey, parents, we can give you this flu shot free. And I normally go and get my free flu shot. So I wait for the nurse to call and reach out, right? So they're good at that. They make sure you have free access. You can go and get that. But this flu had the child unable to move, crippled basically, in pain, coughing, barking like dog. Right? And of course, you know, you try to baby them and give them medicine, whatever it is, and eventually we had to take them to the clinic, the walk-in clinic there, in order for them to get antibiotics and all kind of different expensive things. Thank God they had insurance. I only had to pay $200 each, right? And I said, my God, suppose I didn't have the $400, right? I paid the $200 each. And I can't imagine how parents are making it who don't have insurance.
Well, you know, one of the things about it, and thank you so much, C, and yes, you know, physicians need to heal themselves. Yes. I tend to go and go and go and go, and I tend not to rest, you know. And my kids, especially my older two, tell me, Mommy, you need to stop. Mm-hmm. You know, Mommy, you need to stay. You need
slow
to
down.
Yeah, but I do a lot, and I was in the process of moving from point A to point B. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, I was supposed to get together with my supplement provider, and somehow we missed each other mm-hmm. for a week. And that was critical because for a week, I was not exercising. I was not supplementing. I probably was not sleeping as well as I should have been sleeping, the number of hours. And all of those things combined together add up to one thing. That is your immunity is decreased. And my daughter got it from a friend, and she brought it home to me. And I was with her all of one day in a very tight, enclosed space. Mm-hmm. And then by that evening, I said, oh, my goodness, look at what's happening.
Mm-hmm. You catch it.
Yeah, and then because, you know, I'm a doctor, big, bad doctor, you know, we know what to do. We know I have a doctor. Mm-hmm. I normally have a doctor, you know. But I did not. I said, I'm just going to just drink my stuff and do what I have to do, etc., etc. And it wasn't until the next day I realized, I said, look here, I can't do this to myself, mm-hmm. right?
But describe the symptoms. Tell me how you felt. Let me see if it's similar to what we went through.
It was essentially aching and pain in the back and in the muscles. You had some fever. You had a bit of sore throat. You had, you know, headaches. You weren't just feeling well, you know. And then it dropped down. It went into, and this was the situation that we were dealing with. And so when I called my physician, my friend, she was also my friend, she was like, I am so tired of you. She said, if I could get there with a belt, I would beat you. Mm. How come you're not calling me? And this has been going on now for 48 hours. Well, I'm, you know, big, bad doctor.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I can do it. No. So what I got from that is two things. Number one, I was so busy looking at the forest, I did not see the trees. Mm-hmm. Because when kids start getting ill to the extent that they are, what it indicates to you is that there's going to be a lot of illness in the community. And at this point in time, we're dealing with three basic things, I believe. People call it the triple-demic, the tridemic. COVID. COVID is still around.
COVID is not still around.
COVID is still around, man.
No one I know has COVID.
Listen to me. Maybe they ain't tested or maybe they're
they not don't even
it.
Have a dashboard anymore, doctor. Right. This COVID is gone.
No. No, COVID, stop it. I am so sorry to tell you, right? You may want to believe that, right? But COVID is here. You know why I say COVID is here? Because COVID is in Florida. And what I've learned, and this may be just my own epidemiological track.
They don't wash their hands in America.
No, no.
That's way different in the Bahamas. We used to bush medicine. COVID gone. We have the hand on COVID.
I hope and one day that what you're saying is going to be true. But COVID, as we know, like many other viruses, tends to mutate. Mm. Now, we had the Omicron variant. I think it was the BA4 and the BA5 in yes. June of this year. That is what was causing the majority of the COVID.
Yes.
Now, I don't know what variants we may have here particularly. But I'm just going to go with what was in Florida, because Florida tends to come over here in a great extent.
Yes.
But what has happened now is that those variants have shifted now. And now you're talking about something called the BA1 and 1.1 and that's another variant called an XXB. And the thing with them is that they are super, super infective. They can replicate very quickly and they can make you can get it very easily.
So COVID is still mutating.
Yeah, COVID is going to continue mutating. It's not going to stop. You know.
I hear you. I just don't believe that no more. No. I over COVID.
But the same thing is, we've had the flu. The quote-unquote flu is another variant that's mutated from last year to this one. That's what viruses tend to do, right? Mm-hmm. A virus wants to mutate so that it can escape your immune system, because the immune system has been trained, as I say, to look for a man wearing a red hat in a blue motor car. Mm-hmm. So the virus mutates and it now puts on a pink hat and drives a white car. So it's still a virus, but it's now driving past the immune system. The policemen of the immune system do not recognize it. And this is what is happening.
But let me make this specific. I want to talk about me. Since I had the flu, I catch it from the kids. It's been 4 weeks, let's say 5 weeks now, and I still have to cough. I don't have that pain anymore, right? I'm not achy. I'm not having any running nose or anything like that. So I say, man, the flu thing gone, right? But there's this lingering cough. And then there I see at work, we had a number of persons who were calling out like crazy.
Right.
Same achy flu. And again, so they get it from their kids or whatever it is. Sure. And they all now have a lingering cough 6 weeks, 7, 8 weeks after this flu.
So what can happen, because the airways are one continuous tract going from the nose, going into the back of the throat, going into the chest, and then going into the lungs. It's like, they call it a tree. They call it a bronchial tree because it divides and gets smaller and smaller as it goes. Mm-hmm. And what happens even after you have gotten over, let's say, a bacterial infection or a community-acquired pneumonic infection, you still can have inflammation. You can still get what we call a bronchitis, where the lining is irritated, you know. Mm-hmm. And then anything, whether it's cold or whether it's smoke, whether it's dust, can trigger a response where the receptors pick that up in the lung and you will start coughing. So the things that you have to do with that, essentially speaking, is you have to use things that would soothe that, you know, warm, moist air, staying away from irritants.
I'm going to write these things down.
Staying away from irritants, so no harsh cleaners, smoke, you know, other things like that. Very cold air in some cases triggers it. Mm-hmm. So taking those nice steam inhalations, making sure maybe you have a vaporizer in the room.
Vaporizer.
Yes, so that the air is warm and moist. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that in itself would be helpful. You see?
And I see before you came inside the studio, you was giving out free supplements. I'm not, mind you, I can honestly say I have taken, those pills they say men to take. What's called those?
I'm one a day or something.
Yeah, I took it once and I got dizzy and I've never taken iron pills or anything since. So I don't know exactly what supplement is. And I see you giving them out. And I just say, I wonder what she giving out.
Oh, man, I got you hooked up, man. I got your stuff for you after. That was just those people there. But what it is with a supplement is because we need to eat really and truly. Our health is based on what we intake into our bodies. Mm-hmm. Okay? And really and truly, our kitchen cabinet should be our medicine chest, or our fridges should be our pharmacies. Mm-hmm. But when we got, quote-unquote, richer and more prosperous, what I call the sad diet, which is the standard American diet. Mm-hmm. And we combine that with what I call the bad diet, the Bahamian all-food diet, you know, as Ronnie Butler said, you know, 3 pieces of chicken, plantain, macaroni, yeah, and cheese,
roast beef.
And you pile it up on the plate, and then you're right when the thing, the person died. Because the diet has a lot to do with our immunity and our immune system as well. Mm-hmm. So when we do not take the prescribed, because the FDA does tell you, they said some time ago, you do need to take, everyone should take a vitamin supplement. Now, why is that? Because plants are grown in soil, but in many cases, the soil is depleted of the nutrients and minerals that it needs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so as a result of that, unless you know it's grown organically in soil that you know has all the trace elements, the minerals, the nutrients that you have in it, you are going to come up deficient in vitamins, right? Now, vitamins you can eat, you should eat between 5 to 9 servings of colored vitamins, fruits and vegetables every day.
Okay, I get the fruit and vegetables part. The vitamins part, you have to explain to me.
So fruit and vegetables are just the nature's way of getting vitamins to you. That's all it is, right? And what a vitamin is? A vitamin is something that was discovered. The first vitamins was discovered by a chap called Carl Renberg back in the 30s or the 40s. And essentially, he was a fellow who was looking at the work of a person who, when they were in a concentration camp, started boiling a mix of things, including some stones, some nails, some lemon juice. And he gave it to different people. And the people who took those things, they did and fared a lot better than those who did not. And so it was supposed that there was something in these substances that was vital to life. And that is where the term vitamins came from. Vitamins are important promoters for metabolizing our food and also for helping us with our immune system. Certain vitamins, for example, vitamin D and vitamin C, are two key ones which are very, very important along those lines, okay? And they are vitamins take the names of letters. So you have vitamin A, which you get out of carrots, yellow and reddish vegetables. You have vitamin B, which you're going to get from your eggs, your meat, your yolks. And vitamin B is a complex, a very big complex of vitamins, B1, 2, 3, up to B12. And vitamin B is extremely, extremely important in helping you get energy from your food, in helping get oxygen to you as well. Mm-hmm. You have vitamin C, which comes from fruits, okay, ascorbic acid. So citrus, limes, lemons, oranges, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You're going to get that from you're going to get it from that. Vitamin C is a very powerful antioxidant. Because what happens is that when you get viruses or bacteria, what they do, viruses or bacteria or other microorganisms attack the body, what they're going to actually do is they're going to go out there and they're going to shoot out particles called electrons. And these particles can damage the cells in great degree. Vitamin C takes that electron, neutralizes it, so to speak, and therefore helps in terms of protecting the body.
And I know, Doctor, you're not a pediatrician. And my nephew Cohen has a lingering cough still. Can you recommend something for him? What should he be doing? Even me, what should I be taking? Something?
I would say the same what I said to you beforehand. You have to look at what's the cause of that, what's the cause of the particular cough. So it's a lingering cough that he may have.
Lingering. Right. From that same fluish.
Right. So therefore, is he a person who is getting this, is airways reactive? You know, is he having some wheezing there? So I would say you have to do things that would soothe that inflammation. So mm-hmm. one of the things that soothed, basically, they're cough suppressants, but in kids, you want to be careful about using those, okay. Right? So it's something simple and basic like honey, maybe elderberry syrup, that can do it as well also for you, right? And again, it seems simple, you know, but heat, warm, moist heat inhaled into your system mm-hmm. really and truly does help. Sometimes even getting a nebulizer and using just some saline or some sterile water mm-hmm. as they breathe that sort of mist and vapor in, mm-hmm. it helps to soothe those irritated passages that are going to cause you to be coughing and doing other things as well. Do we understand that?
Yes, I understand that.
So that's it. And so it's important because, you see, according to what you're meant to get your vitamins, I was seeing met that lady, mm-hmm. the vegan lady, before. You're meant to get your nutrients, all your vitamins and your minerals from food. You're meant to get that. Mm-hmm. But because of the diet, again, that we have adopted, and because of the rush of modern-day life, we don't do that. And as a result of that, when those levels of nutrients in your body drop, you are going to have impaired immunity. And I know that's what happened to me last week. Mm-hmm. You know, your immunity is going to become impaired. So you have to then now make a decision. What are you going to do?
So it's flu season.
Yes.
And I'm listening to you and analyzing and trying, because I know you in your practice, you tend to recommend some natural remedies also with the medical stuff, right? Now, I heard that, what I'm hearing that I need to get my vitamins from the food.
If you can. Right.
So I think that's boiled food, some cassava, some yam, some pumpkin.
Right? Well, the things that you're going to get more from the soup. All right. So there are vitamins. We talked about vitamin A, B, C, D, and E. Mm-hmm. Right? They're mostly, and vitamins are going to come from the things that make fruit nicely colored, brightly colored. So as I say, you eat the rainbow, you will get from the variety of things that you eat. For us, we have cocoa plums, blueberries, strawberries, bananas, tomatoes.
Oh, fruits too.
Yes. Those are the things that you would have in the farm. The other thing that you need in small amounts are what we call trace elements or minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And minerals are things like your iron and your calcium and your magnesium and those other things as well too. Now, those things you tend to get from that sort of those ground provision and those boiled food as well too. So you need a combination of both along with, and the ground provision and boiled food would also give you a good source of carbohydrates, mm-hmm. which are the complex ones, the good starches,
mm-hmm.
because when you take them, unless like eating a chocolate, when you eat a chocolate, you get what you call sugar rush, you know,
yes.
like all the strenuous running around after
mm-hmm.
trick and treating.
Mm-hmm.
So the sugar came in, hit them, and it went away. No, when you have, you eat those nice stuff you talked about, which we don't tend to eat, you're going to get that nice low sort of flow of sugar, and it's going to be good for you. So you need to eat properly, and that's the first thing. Our diet is poor. And as a result of that, our immune system is impaired, right?
And going back, you had supplements inside your bag, like so you're issuing them out. What type of supplements would you recommend for men? I'm a man, right? So I can talk about me.
Yeah.
In general, for men health in general.
So a man basically needs to get a multivitamin and multimineral supplement that's going to give him a combination of the various vitamins and a combination of various minerals as well. That's one of the ones that he wants to have in mm-hmm. there, right? In addition to which, men should also take healthy oil supplements. There's the omega oils. People sometimes call them fish oil or flaxseed oil.
Okay, no more the fish oil.
Right, that helps with your heart. And for men, you know, the heart is a very important situation
mm-hmm.
for them, for your heart and for your joints and for your brain as well. For men, again, the prostate is a concern there with the man itself as well too. So therefore things like some saw palmetto and some citrus bioflavonoids and some other situations like those would assist in terms of keeping that healthy. You want strong and healthy bones as well. So calcium, magnesium, vitamin D, those sort of things are what you would want to have, right?
So you're saying that men of a certain age, and I'll say age 40-ish,
mm-hmm.
should be purposeful regarding their health.
Yes, they need to be, because we are losing too many men at too young an age. We are losing too many men. Men, unlike women, they feel one thing, they're to the doctor.
Yeah, I hate doctors. Yeah, doctors tell you bad news. They tell you you're sick.
But, I mean, the doctor only can tell you what they say. He's not going to invent an illness and put it on you. No,
yeah, I just don't like them.
But what I have found, because, you know, I have started traveling to one of the islands. I went to Abuka. I hope all my people in Marsh Harbor are great. I'm looking forward to coming down to Askell Clinic this coming weekend. We'll see, right? But one of the things I found was when I talk with so many of the men only get concerned about their health when they're having issues with, let's say, their intimate function,
mm-hmm.
you know, with erectile dysfunction. And that must be very common, because we were doing a health fair. I shout out to Ms. Angie Colley and her team at Oskell in Abaco Marsh Harbor,
mm-hmm.
who did a good health fair. And many of the men had issues with their pressure or with their sugar. And, you know, they came and we were doing prostate exams as well also, you know, many of them. And nearly to many, many people had issues with that. And I was saying to them, you know, one of the things with this is you have to control. Yes, you could get pills and there are different things that you can get, but prevention is always better than, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to control some of these diseases, things like diabetes and hypertension, high cholesterol, all of these diseases and disorders, they can affect small blood vessels,
mm-hmm.
okay? The function, you know, to function intimately, those small blood vessels have to be able to be filled with blood and to transmit blood through. When you have these things being affected by diabetes, hypertension, high blood sugar, prediabetes, on many other things, high cholesterol, then that's an issue, right? And many men you'll find, I mean, this is some men you take their blood pressure, you wonder how is it they don't have a stroke.
And I'm going to pause there, right? You say you were also on the family island and you're doing the clinic, mm-hmm. right? What did you find prevalent? Still sticking on men. What did you find like a prevalent sickness, ailment amongst men, and Bahamian men in general, in your practice?
Right.
But you say, well, usually when men come to me, I find this. This is a common trend. Is there a common trend for Bahamian
men? What I will tell you is men usually do not come. I'm telling you honestly.
I ain't coming either. But I mean, when they happen to do come, right?
Men what is the ailment? Unfortunately, by the time a man presents to a healthcare practitioner, whether it's a nurse, whether it's a physician, whether it's the urologist or somebody, there is an issue. And I've had some issues in the past because we've had men coming with cancers, you know. They had certain lifestyle situations. They were coming with cancers, lung, colon, you know, prostate cancer. And again, you know, at stages and ages where in some cases, maybe more could have been done to help and to prevent.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the men are dying from things like that are preventable, from things like strokes and complications of diabetes, which, again, diabetes and hypertension both affect blood vessels. The most important blood vessels in your body are those that service your heart, your brain, your eyes, and your kidneys. So many people end up on dialysis, mm-hmm. right, because the kidneys fail. Some people have heart attacks, okay, and that's not good. Some people have strokes, massive strokes, and again, that's not good as well. So these are sort of the issues in a lot of cases, and many of these things are also stress-related. Because I think especially coming out of the pandemic and in the present economic climate, it is very hard economically. And many men as providers may feel that their role is challenged in that way, and they may not be able to do what they need to do. Many times men may often look to maladaptive coping mechanisms. You know, I find when you pass around, and this is something we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. I drive to town frequently on my way to and from different engagements. And where you find the most men is around the web shop and around the bars.
Yes.
And nearly every week I'm very concerned because, and I was talking to some of my colleagues in the mental health field, every week when you pass, you see a new man walking the road, you know, disheveled, unkempt, you know, obviously a person who has
And I want to talk about that, but I want to pause again. You know, so much things you're saying, and I say, I realize a trend and I want to ask your opinion on it. On the family island, we have a drinking problem. Right? I could call islands where the men only recreational activity they have is drinking. They go to the bar and they stay up all night and after they go fishing and they come home drunk. They don't drink water. And I'm saying, is that a coping mechanism? And what can be the effects of that?
That is a coping mechanism, and it's a very maladaptive one. It's one that's accepted. You know, if you're a man, you're supposed to be able to quote-unquote hold your liquor, mm-hmm. right? You know, if you're not, you know, that's something that is...
Long Island men can drink. Yeah. I'm talking about them particularly. Long Island people, they just drink all day.
Ah, Lord. But, you know, that's a way of stress relief and not thinking about issues. And in many cases, especially for men don't like talking. You know, and so they have to be able to identify, and I think there needs to be interventions done with men at different levels so they can identify their feelings, maybe through groups of like the family, through the church, through the community, maybe having things like where you will have events where it's like a man's only night, come and let's talk about, you know, different situations, you know, put it together with like we're going to, you know, do the football game, or we're going to play pool or poker that day, but also come and get your blood pressure checked. You know,
mm-hmm.
and let's talk about this condition. Because sometimes, many times when men get together, they may find that, and you know, amazingly enough, I find that you may think that some of the men might be shy, but they'll talk to me, you know. And once it is, you treat them with respect and whatever, they will, and they're keen, they want to get information, they want to get knowledge about what some of the conditions are that affect them. So I think we have a lot of things that we do for the ladies, and that is good, but I think we also have to care and protect and maybe do more to engage the men, you know?
Perhaps have more men groups inviting doctors to
give... To come and give talks. And maybe, you know, do an activity like, you know, people... I don't know what sports event it is now. I think it's basketball season coming up. So maybe the night of the playoffs or the conference, you say, okay, come on, you know, let's do a little talk. Let's have a whole day of it. We'll check your blood pressure. You know, we'll still have our little wings and our drinks and whatever else it is we got to do. But at least come get your pressure check, your cholesterol check. Let's talk about some health stuff, guys, you know. And let's get that done. I think that when in the community as well, you know, because of our structure, just our family structure, where we have so many homes where the men are not present, where the men are missing. And that transference of knowledge and of stability from the older men, the older generation to the younger men. You know, and I'm talking about the 60s to the 40, the 40 to the 20. You don't see that happening, you know. I was at Montague the other day, and I saw a young man with his two sons. And I told him, I said, sir, I so congratulate you. You're here with them. He was showing them. One was building a castle. One was fishing. I said, this may not seem like a big thing that you are doing, but you are building a great legacy. And I said, if you could see more men do that with their families, it would be better. So I know they've talked about it extensively. They've talked about, you know, what happens and what ails. Because the issues, I think many men are depressed, you know. I think, and they don't may not know how it comes out. And it may come out in increased rates of suicide. We found that there were, you know, the young men especially took their lives, unfortunately, that happened as well. So there's a lot of concerns that are there. But I would say that, you know, if you have men, and all of us do, and you have a brother, a son, a boyfriend, you know, talk to them, say, you know, well, how are you doing? You know, did you get that thing checked out? You know, if you know there's something happening, an event that's happening, sometimes we do, and I will let you know if we're having, you know, events when we are talking about health issues. Maybe you want to listen in on this, you know. Sometimes what someone said, a man may not want to necessarily sign in, let's say, on a Zoom meeting, because sometimes people could see them. But you tell the wife, you say, okay, well, you sign in then. If you know it's something your husband or your boyfriend should hear, you sign in under your name and let him listen. So at least that way he gets the information, you see. So you have to think of creative strategies that you're going to do that, because really and truly the health of a nation is the wealth of a nation, you know.
I wonder, I want you to comment on men's bare belly, big stomach. Should we be concerned? I mean, at a certain age, you know, I have a healthy looking stomach. And should I be concerned about that, or
yes,
working on it?
You have to be concerned about it, because that what you're talking about, that's fat. That is what you call adipose.
But it's taut. I mean, it feels like muscle.
No, it don't make a difference if it's taut. Some people say round is a shape and I'm in good shape. One other fella told me, this was a cousin, he said, I put in it all where I could see it.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, that's not a good thing. Because that fat that's there actually produces certain hormones and chemicals that works against your general health. There actually is a syndrome called metabolic syndrome, where people have that increased abdominal girth, right? That fat in front of the belly is especially bad fat, you know? That fat is there, and that fat tends to promote your ability to get likelihood of you getting diabetes. It tends to promote or assist with you and hypertension and high cholesterol. And when you have all those different things combining together in this metabolic syndrome, it's like away to the races you go. So whenever I see somebody with that bare belly, and what it's saying too is that it's a bare belly because alcohol is primarily a sugar. It's one of those simple sugars we talk about. So when you drink alcohol, it's known. You feel full. You feel nice. You know, the hit of it makes your brain feel happy and fuzzy. You feel full and you feel nice, but you're only taking sugar in, you're not taking anything else. And what the body does when it gets an excess of sugar, it is going to convert it. The body is very efficient. It's going to convert it to fat and say, okay, we may need to use this some other day. The body is still a caveman, you know? So if there's a lot of food around, it's going to say, okay, well, a day is coming when winter is going to be hard. I'm going to keep the food. I'm going to pack it in, and it converts it to fat. And it puts it in the abdomen, and it puts it around the liver, and it puts it around the other organs, which is not a good thing. You see?
And you spoke about diet earlier. How important is exercise for men?
Oh, boy, I think exercise is probably one of the most important things.
Because I just walk around at work. I want to know if that's enough.
No, man, see, you're walking around at work, that's still work. Exercise means that you're making a deliberate effort. So that's good. No. Let me not knock you, right?
Good, because I walk around and work a lot.
Yeah, so you put a pedometer on. Go online and download a pedometer, you know? That's a thing that counts your steps. And just make sure that you get 6,000 steps in. That is still some level of exercise. But your mind is still at work. Your mind is still on work, right? What I would love to see is that we have these beautiful beaches. We have these beautiful parks that people come from all over the world to enjoy, okay? And go take half an hour of time for self-care. I'm going to walk around, whether it's Montague, Goodman's Bay. I'm going to go out west. I'm going to go out east. I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk in the sunshine. I'm going to walk in the fresh air. If I can, I'm going to run, jump in the sea and take a dip. I know Bahamians say they don't like to go in the sea after October, right? Because what you're doing when you're doing that, walking in sunshine, first of all, increases a level of a chemical in your brain called serotonin. Serotonin is actually your feel happy and feel good chemical, mm-hmm. yes? And when people get depressed, they put them on medication to boost the levels of serotonin in their brain, right? So actually, walking in the sunshine helps you. That's one thing. When you walk in the sunshine as well, there's also substances produced that increase the level of substances in your body, nitrous oxide, that help to lower your blood pressure. You produce feel-happy chemicals, endorphins and enkephalins, which help lower your stress level, okay? And so your exercise has all of those good mental benefits, and in addition to which, it engages your big muscle groups, which are like your legs and your arms and so. And those big muscle groups grow and burn calories, right? And so once you engage your muscles, even when you start working out for the day, let's say you do it for half an hour, CA, there's an increased muscle tone. The muscles are like a fat burning and a calorie burning factory. They will continue to burn and they will continue to produce that metabolic effect of getting rid of those excess energy over the course of the day. So exercise, if I could put exercise in a bottle, you know, I would think that every pharmacy should carry that as well, you know. And oftentimes we say we don't have time to do it. You know something, after I know that many years ago I had an issue, I was living in the U.S. at that time, oh Lord, high stress driving at I-95, you know, working 18-hour days, it was crazy. And I ended up with an issue where I had to have investigation by a cardiologist. And I remember he told me, okay, get your tennis and everything. I said, well, you say you're going to go on the treadmill. It was a treadmill test. And I was like, well, look at this. You're doing the treadmill test after you had the problem, mm-hmm. right? Why not just do it before, you know? Because in my way, I look at it, you're going to take something. You're going to either take a supplement, which is going to preserve your health and try to prevent you getting ill, or you're going to take the medication that you have to take once the condition has shown itself up. You choose. You're either going to exercise to keep your body strong mm-hmm. and to prevent illness, or you're going to have to exercise as a part of rehabilitation and therapy. So again, you're going to do it anyway. Why not make a decision to do it when you have control and when you're still healthy and in good health? You see what I'm saying? That's why I look at it.
I want to also ask this. Earlier, you mentioned that Bahamian men, who you tend to see, comes in complaining about hypertension, diabetes, and high blood pressure, right? These are three main things that ails Bahamian men. But I want you, each one, to basically explain what it is, what's the signs, and what is the negative effects of that. So we can start with hypertension. What is hypertension?
Hypertension is just elevation of your blood pressure. Your heart is a pump. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the purpose of the heart is to pump blood from the top of your brain, which is to the top of the head, down to your little toe. The heart is a pump. Now, when the heart has to pump at that enhanced pressure, you know, either there's a blockage somewhere or it's not working properly, then what ends up happening is that increase in pressure can have many deleterious effects, many bad effects, right? Your blood vessels are pipes. That's what they are. And think about it. If you had a pump working at too high a force, what could happen? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like say it's in your radiator. What would happen? It could blow out your...
Pressure burst pipe.
Yeah, exactly. And that is what happens. That's a stroke, right?
Oh, that's what's a stroke.
Yes, when it goes... That's one of the causes of a stroke, when that happens up in the brain, okay? The other thing that can happen is that the pressure can damage the blood vessels, okay? And when you damage blood vessels in the body, there's a little cell called a platelet. I call it like a little roadworks person. Anytime they see any sort of protuberance or any sort of unevenness in the blood vessels, they're going to run and gather around to try to smooth it out. And that is how you get clots in the system. And these little clots now can move and go to places and block it off. And when it blocks it off, if you have blood supply blocked off to an area, not a good thing. You don't get oxygen, you don't get food. That's another cause of a stroke. That's another cause of a heart attack. You understand? So those are some of the things that you don't want.
And how do you treat hypertension?
Hypertension, first of all, one of the main things I tell people is you want to relax because the stress level. You see, our bodies, our brains are still back. I always say caveman, you know. The brain is still thinking that we have a system in the body designed to protect us called our sympathetic system that helps us to run away or to stand and fight. And the brain still thinks, so when you are stressed out, it could just be your wife or it could be the water bill. Mm-hmm. As far as your brain is concerned, Tyrannosaurus Rex is coming to attack you and you have to either stand and fight or run away. So it does things to increase and raise your blood pressure. So, you know, to help you to get that energy to be able to run away. So learning to relax, exercise being one of them, is one of the main and primary things to do. You know, that's one of the most important things that you can do for your blood people who have high blood pressure and their lifestyle. Getting enough sleep and rest. When you don't sleep enough, your body produces something called cortisol because your brain is saying, okay, she's not sleeping or he's not sleeping. This means there's danger around, you know? And so we need to get ready again to either stand and fight or run away. So all those things happen when cortisol is produced. You increase the amount of fluid in your body system. You increase the amount of adrenaline that you're going to have produced as well. And adrenaline tends to make your blood vessels tight. You know, they talk about that adrenaline rush hour and increase your blood pressure, right? So relaxing and sleeping, those are two good things that are good for it. The other thing would be your level of salt. Now, we love salt. Oh, my goodness. And Bahamians could cook. Oh, my Lord.
High season.
Oh, yeah, man. The food can be fresh. You know, the food fresh. Ain't nobody want that. But instead of using artificial salt that you add, use herbs and spices. You know, things like chives and, you know, thyme and spinach and Spanish thyme and rosemary and oregano. So a pepper, garlic and onion, use those. Because when you produce salt in the body, what you actually do is you have to get water. And think about it. If you eat a pair of salt, that's why they serve snacks, salty snacks in bars. Not because they like you. Because when you take in too much salt, the level of salt in your body is finally controlled by the brain. Mm-hmm. And when you take in too much salt, you automatically, what do you want to do? You want to drink, and you're in the bar, right? You can drink alcohol, not water. But So when we have a lot of salt in, salt tends to keep fluid. And as a result of that, the blood pressure rises. So again, you want to look at your diet in terms of that, you know, the salt and so.
So we're talking to Dr. Suzanne Williams-Lockhart. And we're talking general health and mostly about men in general, right? What is ailing us inside the Bahamas? And I'm just asking some questions what I find important about my health. Right? But we'll take a short break right now. And when she comes back, I'm going to ask her the difference between hypertension and high blood pressure, because I it seems like they're both the same thing.
They're the same thing.
Okay. Then I want to know about this cholesterol thing and how high is that. But we'll be right back after this short break. Guardian Radio.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best, always. You're always calling me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM. This is C.A. Nuri. I'm talking to Dr. Suzanne Lockhart, who has a concierge come-to-your-house type service. Tell me about your practice first.
We at Capriata Health and Wellness, we will come home to you, or we will talk to you on the phone or talk to you via a social media platform. We do have getting our encrypted platform back again. And we would assist you because especially in this type of time, people may not want to necessarily engage a clinic or an emergency room. You know, there's a lot of different situations going around. And so in the privacy of your home, we can do many examinations and basic investigations. And we can assist you with a diagnosis and tell you, either give you some treatment, or if you need to go further, either to a hospital or clinic, we can help facilitate that. If you need to get an opinion from another specialist, or an opinion from someone who is here or abroad, we also can facilitate that as well, too.
See, Doc, I have an elderly stepfather. He ain't going to the hospital. He's stubborn. And if I have to physically take him there, it'll be a fight. He'll actually fight me, so he ain't going. He say, you'll, and he prepared. So I can call you to to his house.
Yeah, we do that. We love dealing with, I call them the precious pools of our geriatric citizens at the end of the day. And in many cases, they sometimes tend me not to do well because the very old and very young behave the same in terms of their immune system. And they're prone towards getting dehydrated sometimes, getting urinary infections. Sometimes when they don't feel good, they tend to lie in the bed, and then you get a lot of other side effects, maybe bed sores and other things that happens as a result of that, you know? So we can always, you know, call them. You don't have to wait until we also do, you know, wellness checks. You don't have to wait until the person is ill or sick. For myself or one of the other physicians to come. You know,
so you just call you and say, be doing a wellness check, and
you just want to check and see what it's like. Sometimes people are on multiple medications. They're seeing 3 or 4 different physicians. We're pretty good at looking at everything, maybe calling and talking to the different doctors and saying, you know, listen, I'm just talking to Mr. So-and-so, Ms. So-and-so, about their condition, you know, what's the scenario with this or that. So people can feel, you know, that they have control of their health. Because many times the way we look at it in the Bahamas, I say we do medicine as the doctor's God. You know, God has control. It's the doctor's blood pressure. No, it's yours. You have to know what's happening with you. So we really like to help facilitate that, to help people, you know, feel empowered about their health, I always say, to help them to get the information they need so that they can restore their own wellness and maintain it. Okay. So that's what we do.
I see we have a caller here, Doc, so let me allow them to ask a question. Producer, oh, they hang up? Okay, no problem. But before we went on a break, I was asking you about high cholesterol and how that impacts your body and what causes high cholesterol.
So cholesterol is like a fat. It's like one of the fats that we have in the body. And cholesterol has gotten a bad rap, man. Poor cholesterol. Cholesterol is actually something that your brain needs, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah. The brain conducts signals by electricity. And the same way it is, the electric wiring in your house needs to have an insulation around it. The insulation around the nerve endings is primarily made up of cholesterol, you know? So that's one good thing. Cholesterol is also very important in the cell wall, the walls of all your body cells, okay? Cholesterol makes sure that the cell membrane is nice and can move smoothly and let things go in and go out well.
So it's a good thing. I can eat my crawfish. My mother said, man, you're eating too much crawfish. So your cholesterol could be high.
So, but the issue is that when we take it in, so there are sources of it that are the quote-unquote, we're talking about the good cholesterol, and we talk about the bad cholesterol, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the good cholesterol is a type of cholesterol that when we take it in, it actually goes through our body like a broom and tends to try to sweep up all the different fat and cholesterol particles and package it and take it back to the liver so the cholesterol is low. Mm-hmm. The good cholesterol is in things like fish and nuts, right? You know, and oils, coconut oil, excellent, you know, those type of things. Those are what you're going to get that in that oily fish, right? The bad cholesterol is all the things we like to eat. The ice cream and the pizza, you know, that lard and that, you know, butter that make it taste so good, right? And that cholesterol, though, what that tends to do, that is going to tend to stick onto the walls of the blood vessel, right? You get like a little fatty plaque somewhere along it. When there's too much things in the bloodstream, it's going to come out and it's going to sit on. It's like when you have a river after a hurricane and there's a lot of debris inside of it, then what happens when you have a little snag? What happens now? It stays in one area, right? Mm-hmm. So when the cholesterol deposits, again, you have those little cells in the bloodstream that don't like anything not smooth. They jump on it. And then you get what you call a cholesterol plaque. That's the beginning of it. I mean, I'm simplifying it. But when you have that plaque occurring, so now that's something jutting into the wall of the blood vessel, making it narrower. So you don't have as good blood supply. You could then have a problem with your brain, a problem with your heart, a problem with a piece of that could break and go somewhere.
And
right?
It leads to this hypertension and then the high blood pressure and all those things lead to that.
Yes, they're all combined and connected together. They affect in terms of how they affect the blood vessels. So we tell people, you know, you could have a piece of your crawfish every now and again, but you shouldn't sit down and eat that every Sunday.
I don't want to eat the whole thing.
No, you can't eat the whole thing.
Especially when the season comes and they're selling it cheap.
No, man, you could eat some and freeze some and eat it at a different point in time at the end of it with that, right? So the third horseman of that trial, we'd call it, would be high blood sugar, right, or diabetes.
I'm just going to talk about diabetes. I'm just going to say high blood sugar, but yes, diabetes.
Yes, high blood sugar, that's what it is, the last part of it. And so, boy, what shall we say? We are very prone to that, right? we are prone to get what you call...
We as in Bahamians or we as in black people?
Both, right? We tend to get what you call type 2 diabetes. So diabetes basically means to say that your body does not, has a relative lack of insulin, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Now, insulin is something produced by a gland called your pancreas that helps your body deal with sugar. When you have sugar, you take, sugar is very essential. You know, if you need energy, you got to take some sugar in. Now, sugar cannot get into the cell by itself. Insulin has to open the door of the cell for sugar to pass in, yeah?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so some people are born without that necessarily insulin. And those are people who are type 1. They typically are young kids. They'll enter on up into problems. But most of us are what we call type 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we don't produce insulin, but it's a situation where we eat so much. So we eat, as we say, the Ronnie Butler, so we eat macaroni and cheese. So Sunday, we eat macaroni and cheese, fried plantain, peas and rice. Then we eat some corn, all these nice starches that are going to convert the sugar in the body. So then what happens is our pancreas gets up, drags up, puts his insulin out, and insulin is knocking on the door of the cell. Let me in. The chin. I need to come in here. The sugar need to get in. Hurry up. So what happens when you have a visitor that comes too often?
Mm-hmm.
The cell say, well, I ain't checking for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. Are you done been here ready for today? I just ain't going to open this door for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the insulin is outside knocking, but it is not effective, right? And the sugar is out there waiting, saying, well, I can't get in to the cell. So what am I going to do now? So when the sugar does not get into the cell, the level of sugar in the bloodstream gets high.
Ah.
And the body has to do something with the sugar. The body is efficient, you know. The body don't like anything blocking up the bloodstream. Nothing. It's a too much sugar in here. So the kidney will pee it out.
Ah, right? I was going to ask, why you pee so much?
Because how you'll pee sugar? You have to dissolve it in water, mm-hmm. right? You can't pee out sugar cubes.
And Doc, I have another call here because I wanted to hear you talk more, but let me get the caller in. Producer, pass the caller through. Go ahead, caller. Hi, how you doing? Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri. How you doing? Sparky here.
Hey, Sparky.
You know, Nuri, when I was young, I was rather active at sports and all kind of different thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, I go to a doctor, I never had no problem. I do a checkup just about every May, my birthday month. And all of a sudden, at 50, I went to the doctor. And I was telling him, I just felt a little dizzy. He said, well, did you know you're diabetic, Charlie? I said, well, all these years, I come to you every year, I know diabetic. How come I all of a sudden I'm a diabetic?
Mm-hmm.
I said, what stage? He said, you're stage 2. They put me on metformin, just that pills and so forth. And I was on that for years. But I never had no high blood pressure. And there were other problems. Most of my stuff had been like injuries playing sports, not sickness. I never got the flu. I never got the cold. People tell me they got the flu every year. I never found myself getting that. And then I decided I could start going on these bush medicines, like the moringa and the neem mm-hmm. and the soursop leaf, gall leaf, all them kind of things without using sugar. And I went back to the doctor. He said, hey, what you did? I said, well, I started using the teas. He said, man, you ain't showing no sign of no diabetes no more. And it's just like it never came back. I'm not a diabetic. But every time I go to check, Mr. Dury,
mm-hmm.
no doctor say I got this or I got that. You know, I might have a little back from an old injury, backache.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to ask the doctor, these things, what they call bad foods, when it comes to religion, don't eat pork, don't eat conch, don't eat ham, don't eat grouper, don't eat crawfish, and this, when it comes to religion, are they really bad food, or this is just a religious thing?
No, you see, you want to...
Thank you very much, Sparky.
Thank you so much, Mr. Sparky, and it's so good. I'm so happy you were able to use some of your natural remedies to get rid of the diabetes, and you mentioned that you had sporting injuries, so that means you used to play sports back in the day. I'd say baseball?
No, he's gone already. Go ahead.
Okay, so maybe baseball. You used to play maybe baseball back in the day, so you did two... very good things. One, you had an element of, physical activity. And then you turn to some natural stuff which would help you. And there are some natural things that with the help of your physician, you know, I always tell people that you can go on which will assist and help you. Now, to the question about the bad food, quote unquote. Now, bad food for religious purposes, I know some people may say because of a particular preference. They may say, okay, certain things, for instance, some people call the crawfish and the shrimp, they call them the cockroaches of the sea because they crawl on the ground. So they say they're not going to eat that. Some people may not eat it, right? fish and so some people may make a decision that that is not what they want to have. But and having respect for everyone's religious preferences, I would say that in moderation, you know, you can have whatever it is you think that you would like to have. If you don't like to eat something, then don't eat that. The way I see it, there are enough things in the world that you have a choice in terms of what. You don't like crawfish, you might like grouper. You don't like grouper, you might like tuna. You see what I'm saying? So this is one of the things.
I have another caller there. Producer Patrick, caller through. Go ahead, hello. Caller. Can you hear me?
I want to ask the doctor a question. Let's say you diagnosed as type 2 diabetic. Is there any way you could have brought that, or at any time they can tell you that you don't need to take the medication anymore?
Yes, it is very, very possible. We were talking about what can give you type 2 diabetes. You know, and type 2 diabetes is really a scourge because many people with that end up with many deleterious effects. You will have to pay attention to your diet and to your exercise plan. I tell everybody, and I talk about myself as well, because once I was pre-diabetic and then I lost weight and I exercised and I ate differently under supervision of the physician, and then I did not have to go upon medication. So medicine really and truly is not that you get in a medication to take for 20 or 30 years. I do not believe that. The medicine that you may take when you are diagnosed is so that you don't end up having a bad side effect. If your blood pressure is 200 over 150, you need to take something for the blood pressure right then. Mm-hmm. If you don't do it, you're going to get a stroke or heart attack. Mm-hmm. But having controlled it, you now need to sit and say, okay, what is happening with my body? Why is my blood pressure that level? What do I need to change? And you start working lifestyle, diet, and exercise to change it. And as you change and shift, you can then gradually wean yourself with your physician off your medication. I would never say to somebody, just stop taking medication.
Mm-hmm. And I have another caller there, producer. Can you pass the caller through? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Very interesting show.
Thank you very much.
I just want to say something and press that the doctor can answer me. Sure. Okay, the last time I had my medical done, everything was perfect with the exception of my cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor put me on some tablets. Now, I have not been taking them as I should because I also told the doctor I'm a naturalist.
Right.
And I like to work on taking remedies that I know that can help me. The reason for that is because, you know, the Bible speaks about, you know, the 12 banner of fruits and therefore the healing of the nation.
Healing of the nation. Yes.
So what I'm doing now, I'm eating better and drinking a lot of water, exercise. I've always been doing it, but I wasn't consistently doing those things. So I've started to do those things consistently. Now, the doctor told me that the reason for that is because of my gene. He said it could also run in your family.
Right.
What do you think about that?
No, there are some people, so we didn't get a chance to get to that part of the conversation, but I think your physician is being responsible and trying to just tell you, give you information. I believe you give people information and let them make a decision in what they do. Now, I do commiserate with you because the drugs you typically tend to use for high cholesterol, a drug called statin drugs, and in some cases, they can cause issues with your muscles and some other things. Some people don't like those side effects, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I would say to you that the cholesterol being high is a sign of, okay, that there's a problem there. Now, same thing like with the other gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
It's either, are there things that you can do? I know that from a dietary perspective, taking things in like nuts, almonds and walnuts, eating a lot of beans, all right? And there are a couple of other supplements which you can utilize.
Red yeast, rice. And all of that, yeah.
Right. Those things tend to absorb the cholesterol and assist it. There's also something called plant sterols. Plant sterols, S-T-E-R-O-L-S. You can always inbox me afterwards and I can give you some more information.
Uh-huh.
They also assist and help.
Okay.
Now, the situation is, though, if your doctor is convinced that you have it from a perspective of a genetic, that means that is in your genes or in your DNA, what are some of the signs you may get that that's the case? Well, maybe you have a lot of family members who died of strokes and heart attacks at an early age. I'm not sure what it may be, right?
I don't have that in my family, no, not like that. I have, like, my family, I have that. Some of them died from sugar. My dad died from sugar.
Right.
Well, he died at an old age. He died at 85 because he died with sugar rather than from it.
So then I would say you talk to the physician. I would tell people, a lot of people say, I'm not taking that, but work with your doctor. Find someone who will work with you. And you want to take the medication because it will stop the bad side effect. But
right.
saying that you are taking it does not mean that you have to stay on that forever. Then,
I know, yes.
Now you gradually, as you improve and your numbers improve, you can pull back down under the care of your physician and therefore maybe wean off or stop that particular medication.
But you know what has helped me tremendously? The rosemary bush. And I have also treated a young man who was on pills for high potential for years. So I said to him, I'm going to package 7 little Ziploc bags with the rosemary, and you take these for 7 days, and once you've done that, go back to your doctor. He did that, and when he went back to the doctor, the doctor said to him, this is the best your hypertension has been for years. This is the best result.
There are some things that you have in, and I can't tell you specifically for rosemary. I know that in things like beetroot, you have nitrites, which tend to relax the blood vessels, and that can help you. Maybe there's something like that in rosemary too, but it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a thing here, and as a physician, I've seen it that, you know, people tell you, I'm taking this medicine, I've been on that for 40 years. I'm like, well, okay, why?
You don't necessarily have to be sick to take those things, you know, because you could still be on your doctor's medication, because we do drink herbal tea. You drink it like a herbal tea.
Yes, you do.
And also what I have learned during the pandemic, I took the time to study a lot of these things.
Right.
Took that a lot of time. And I also found out that mulberry bush is good for sugar. A lot of people don't know that.
Right.
And you can drink that after tea as well.
Yes, because things that are good for sugar, there's a compound called chromium prickly, which regulates the sugar intake. It's in cinnamon. So that's why they tell you that, you know, if you put some cinnamon in your tea as well, that would help you as a diabetic person. But I believe, you know, as I say, you know, you can and you should help your health. And as I say, but work with your medical provider.
Work with your medical provider.
Yes. But I normally do my medical once a year, and then I go off for follow-up. So I'm in good hands.
Good. Yes. Excellent. But
I've been talking. And then my vitamin, I am on a stem cell 30 vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
It has healed. I can feel where it has healed my inside, and my eyesight is better. I don't feel as tired anymore. So I'm a naturalist. I try to do anything that can help me, and then I share it with other people around me.
But definitely, ma'am, we're going to invite the doctor back to talk some more issues.
I know you have to go. Time is up.
But Dr. Lockhart, the next time I'm going to bring you here, we're going to talk about some natural remedies. We're going to also talk about women's health.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we talked about some teas also that you can use to help you with your health. But thank you very much.
Sounds good. And thank you very much for listening to me.
My pleasure, ma'am.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
I've been talking to Dr. Susan Lockhart. And what is your practice name again?
Capri, Capri as in the pants, and ATA, Capri after Health and Wellness. Look us up online and on Facebook.
Good. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.